This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. I'm your host, JT, and I am thrilled to be back here with the Silver and Black. Silver and Black Productions, as we get you ready for the 2016 season. The opener, Raiders at New Orleans this Sunday. Lot to get into in this podcast. We got a couple of guests, including the sideline reporter for the New Orleans Saints and Reggie Nelson, the safety who led the league in interceptions last year, will join us here before he plays his first game with the Raiders. Same format with the podcast this year, but we're going to get a little bit more help from you by staying at Raiders.com or hitting me up directly at JT the Brick. We'll take some of your questions, also some of the guests that you'd like to hear on the podcast, and maybe switch it up and get some of your input where we can find a way to incorporate you with this every week via Facebook, via Twitter, or any of the forms of social media that you use. Now let's get going for the first game of the year, and it's a tough one. Taking on Drew Brees in New Orleans is a daunting task. That building is an absolute house of horrors and one of the toughest places to play in all of football because it's loud, it's their home opener, their fans are always on their feet and locked in. You really can't criticize anything about that dome and that fan base. I think that has a lot of similarities to the Raider fan base that stands up during games and is loud and is very proud. They are a proud organization, and those fans back that team. That being said, this is not the same Saints team that we saw when Drew Brees won a Super Bowl a number of years ago. They're coming off back-to-back 7-9 seasons. But they still have Drew Brees, who's one of the great quarterbacks of all time. I saw a stat earlier today that blew me away. Drew Brees has 48,555 passing yards since joining the Saints in 2006. That's more yards by a quarterback in a 10-year span in NFL history. So you have to put Brees right up there with Peyton Manning, Brett Favre before he retired, the great Tom Brady. He's that good. And the key to Brees is his ability to look off a defense. What he does better than anyone that I've seen, other than Tom Brady and Manning, is he looks left, he looks right, and then he attacks you down the middle of the field. And we'll get to the Raider roster throughout the podcast, which has been upgraded, especially in the secondary. The secondary is going to have their hands full with Drew Brees. Now, Drew Brees doesn't have those weapons that he had with Jimmy Graham and the wide receivers over the last number of years, but they still can run the ball with Mark Ingram. They still have a team that can protect the quarterback and a quarterback that'll just tear you up if you give them too much time. Looking at the Saints from last year as we got ready for week one, it's just amazing how different they are from offense to defense. Their offense was ranked second overall in the league at over 403 yards a game, while the Raiders were ranked 24th at 333 yards a game. And the Saints are number one in 2015 in passing offense, 310 yards a game. Conversely, the Raiders are 16th with 242. And when it comes to third down efficiency, number one in the league, New Orleans. That's because of Drew Brees. When you go to the defensive side of the ball, they're an absolute train wreck. They were dead last in red zone efficiency, 31st in the league when it came to points per game, 31st in pass defense, 31st in rush defense, 31st in total defense. So this was the worst defense in football last year, pretty much in several statistical categories. And that should be good news for Derek Carr and Bill Musgrave and the Raiders offense, as the Raider offense has clearly improved and the defense has improved. So as we look at this game, a couple of things concern me. First off, I think the Raiders are the better team. They have a better roster. But on New Orleans' side, they have a great head coach in Sean Payton and a great Hall of Fame quarterback in Drew Brees. So they have that. Is that an advantage? I don't think the coaching advantage is any, other than Payton having that Super Bowl ring, because Jack Del Rio, Ken Norton Jr., Coach Musgrave, Mike Tice, the Raiders clearly have a coaching staff that can stand next to any team in this league. But Drew Brees is a little bit farther on than Derek Carr, who's young into his career, even though he's coming off the Pro Bowl. So the key to this game will be playing in a hostile environment with a very loud crowd and making sure that the Raiders play a clean game. I was on the sidelines throughout the preseason, and Jack Del Rio preached it. They've got to play clean football. No offsides penalties. They've got to make sure that they don't have penalties on special teams. This, to me, is the ultimate field position battle. The Raiders have Marquette King, who's doing an unbelievable job as their punter, and one of the greatest kickers of all time is Sebastian Janikowski, who's playing in the dome with no weather elements. Janikowski, as I said all last year on this podcast, he's got to be good for 9 points a game. At least three field goals or two field goals and three extra points. This is the type of game where Janikowski can dominate. So we're going to get into all this in this podcast with all of our guests, but it's great to be back again. And hopefully the Raiders get off to a good start. Because a lot of people around the league are chirping about this Raiders schedule and how they open up with three out of their four games on the road. And we've heard it for years that when this team goes east and plays at 10 o'clock in the morning on their body clock, they can't win. That's got to end this year. This is the first time in a decade on my national radio show and now with the new podcast that I'm predicting the Raiders to go to the playoffs. I think the Raiders are a 10-win team and go 10-6. But as Jack Del Rio told me earlier this week, Tuesday, at the Meet the Team kickoff luncheon, this is a 7-9 team from last year, and there's a lot of hype surrounding them. And let's forget about the hype for now and get into the X's and O's of how to beat the New Orleans Saints and for the Raiders to get off to that 1-0 start and come home for the home opener at the Coliseum against the Atlanta Falcons. I wanted to kick off the first podcast with a guy who follows the Raiders year-round and does a great job. Scott Baird joins us from CSN Bay Area. And I read your column, Scott, which was fantastic. I want to get into it. The top five questions facing the Raiders in 2016. But let's start off. You're always around this team. You were with this team this week, heading into the New Orleans game. How healthy are the Raiders coming out of the preseason?
They look pretty darn good considering that they've been through four preseason games and they really only have a couple of dings to show for it. Now, losing Mario Edwards is a big deal, and losing him for eight games is a significant blow, but they have depth there to be able to absorb those losses. And while losing him hurts, it won't hurt that bad because they planned on a heavy rotation of quality players up front.
Are you excited about the secondary? The fact I thought early in the preseason it wasn't smart to have Carl Joseph coming off the injury penciled in as a starter at New Orleans going up against Drew Brees. Nate Allen played well in spots. If you look at the addition of Reggie Nelson, what that secondary looks like and the upgrade at cornerback, how do the Raiders match up in this game?
They match up a lot better than they would have 12 months ago. That's for darn sure, because they have guys that fit their scheme on the outside. They have lanky guys who can either play off the ball or play physical at the line of scrimmage. David Amerson, in my opinion, has been a revelation since he's been in silver and black. I think that is a key thing. And Jack Del Rio said something pretty interesting on Wednesday morning, and he called Reggie Nelson a calming influence for this entire secondary. And having a guy who can play that single high safety spot and rove around and make smart decisions and offer help where it's required most is absolutely crucial. Now, I talked to Carl Joseph last week, and he said that while he's made great strides, he's not 100% yet. And really, who can blame him? Because he tore his ACL 11 months back, and not everybody recovers like Adrian Peterson does. At some point, it takes time, and there was a lot of pressure on this kid. And I think what starting Nate Allen has done is it's kind of taken some weight off of his shoulders that he can continue to get stronger, continue to develop so they can make his first prolonged NFL starting experience a good one, as opposed to a young kid getting picked on by a Hall of Fame quarterback in Drew Brees.
Scott Baird joins us from Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area. Check out his column at ComcastSportsnetBayArea.com. Scott, I think you nailed it when you said, can the Raiders stop the run? This was cause for concern in the preseason for a number of weeks here. I love the twos and the guys who made this team, like Jihad Ward, and the depth that they have behind Jelly Ellis and what they want to do up front with Williams, but this is a really important game when you look at the matchup of a young running back who's going to run right at the Raiders and then the linebackers behind them and their ability to stop the run. Has Jack Del Rio cleaned this up over the last couple of weeks heading into New Orleans?
he believes that he has, and that I think that this offers a really good test because the Saints are going to run Mark Ingram, and he's no small, mighty mite type of rusher. He's going to run straight at you, and he's going to be physical, and those are the running backs that during a small sample size of this preseason, guys like Eddie Lacy, DeMarco Murray, Derrick Henry, who are going to pound you. How can these linebackers and Malcolm Smith and Ben Heaney and Corey James, all these guys are middleweight, basically. They're all about 5'11", 6 feet. They're all about 225 to a 230. They don't have that true thumper in the middle that can be good against the run. So those guys are going to have to be fit perfectly so they don't take these running backs at odd angles, because you're exactly right. If you can't stop the run, you can't do much of anything. And if you let Drew Brees get into a play action, kind of rhythm where he becomes unpredictable, he becomes near impossible to stop. So this defense needs to be predicated on stopping the run. That's Jack Del Rio's trademark, and it's something that has to get fixed. Now, starting Justin Ellis next to Dan Williams should hopefully plug up some of those gaps. But when it comes down to it, Nate Allen, Ben Heaney, Malcolm Smith are going to have to make plays early on before rushers get to that second level.
You've been around this team so much. What are your expectations for Bruce Irvin? What can Raider fans expect from him? He's a high-priced free agent.
He is, and I think he went through this preseason at about 80, 85%, really trying to stay healthy and trying to keep a lot of his tricks in the bag. So I think that he'll be good, but the expectations for him are really high. I mean, he's talking about being a slash brother alongside an all-world edge rusher like Khalil Mack. That's a lot of expectations for a guy that's never had more than 8 sacks. He's never been allowed to attack as much as he will this time, but I think he has to prove it to everybody that he's worth that paycheck and that he's worth the type of attention that is going to free up Khalil Mack on the other side.
Scott, I want to go to the offensive side, and I think it's really important for the Raiders in this game against New Orleans to establish the run. They have two young running backs who proved themselves, but this is Latavius Murray's job. Can he stay on the field? Can he stay healthy? Can he hit the hole faster? We didn't see a lot of that in the preseason. What's your analysis of his performance from the offseason, through camps, through the preseason? Because a lot of fans, I won't say they're worried about Latavius Murray, but they got to see him take his game up to a higher level.
Yeah, it's weird for a guy who finished with 1,000 yards and made a Pro Bowl to be disappointed in how he played. And I think some fans wanted and expected more because he gave them that great little tease back in the 2014 season where he knocked the Kansas City Chiefs right on their rear end and looked great, showed speed, and showed that aggressiveness that you were talking about. And now the counter to that is he was over 1,000 yards. He played all 16 games despite being, injured a couple different times, and he fought through it. And there's some cause for concern because he's 6'3", and at times he runs like he's 6'3" and not built like Jerome Bettis. You're right. He needs to get to the hole faster. He needs to make decisions quickly and appropriately to take advantage of his speed, because while he may not look very fast once he gets to the second level because he has such long legs, he's a strider that can absolutely break away. And I talked to him several times over the offseason. I think he and I have a good relationship. And he said one thing over and over, JT. He said, it's not about touches. It's about efficiency. It's how I make the most of the opportunities that I get, especially on first and second down. And I think there were times last year maybe where he wasn't running tentative, but he knew he was the only guy in the building that could carry this run game. 306 touches overall, and there was nobody behind him to really kind of fill that gap. And I think having some other talent behind him will allow him to run free, that not everything has to be perfect, just that he needs to attack it more. I think he'll do it, and I think he's primed for a better season than he had last year.
Raider fans, he's a must-follow on Twitter, BearCSN. That's BairCSN on Twitter. Scott, as we wrap this up, Derek Carr, I just love everything about his demeanor, the way he plays, the way he attacks down the middle of the field. If he can clean up the interceptions late in the season, that takes his game to the next level. But I've been around him a lot. throughout the preseason, and he just looks like he is ready, that they're almost holding him back. His energy is sky high here, and what a great matchup for him to go up against Drew Brees on Sunday, a future Hall of Famer. And a lot of people think that Carr is off to a great start in his career, very similar to Drew Brees once Brees got to New Orleans.
Yeah, and really the Oakland Raiders have complete confidence that this kid can continue to evolve. And you and I both have seen his work ethic. It's incredible. And we've both seen his arm and his flick of the wrist, quick release, and it's pretty amazing. And I think that when you talk about all these questions about, are the Raiders going to be that playoff team that a lot of people think, will Derek Carr take the next step? And I did ask that question, and my answer was, absolutely. I do think that for such a young kid, he's such a stabilizing force in this offense and in this locker room. And I think that's what excites the Raiders. That's what excites his wide receivers, is that his mastery of Bill Musgrave's scheme has gotten way better, and he looks more comfortable. I think in that first year, his yards per pass was way down because he was nervous and tentative, and his team wasn't very good. And last year, he kind of showed some explosiveness. And if they can provide him some balance, some help in the run game, he should be able to really feel comfortable in the pocket, comfortable in his decisions, and comfortable with the fact that his wideouts are going to make plays for him downfield.
Scott, finally, this is a tough game. I mean, it's a pick'em game almost in Vegas. New Orleans, as we're talking, is a one-point favorite. And the Raiders look to be a better team on paper. They look to have a better roster, but you know how difficult it is. And the Raiders have struggled recently playing in that dome. But I'm just hoping for the fact that Jack Del Rio and his staff, there's a lot of new players coming in there, players that have won in that dome before, now coming over to the Raiders here. A really tough test. But if the Raiders can win this game and come home for the home opener against Atlanta, the Coliseum is going to be rocking. And then we could talk about the Raiders getting off to a 2-0 start. How do you see this game? Because it's a bizarre opponent. I give them a lot of respect because they're playing at home, and it's tough to win in the dome.
Yeah, and Jack Del Rio said that Superdome crowd will only be as loud as you allow it to be, meaning that if you can come in and keep your head on straight and make some quality plays early, especially on defense, that you can kind of neutralize that home field advantage, maybe not completely, but enough to get your guys in sync. And I love the way Derek Carr talked about dealing with crowd noise and dealing with the intensity and all those expectations, is that he almost doesn't want to hear anybody else talk, that they know what they're going to do. They have a game plan. And the more, talking, the more he gets out of his zone. And I think that he's going to be pretty focused for that game, a game where we all know that New Orleans defense is, I mean, it's terrible. So when you look at that and Derek Carr's confidence and the fact that Drew Brees just signed a new deal and he's going to be happy and he's healthy, this could be a shootout. And it could be one of those things where you really see two good quarterbacks go back and forth. And maybe whoever scores last, is the victor. And I think this game isn't one that you would assume that the Oakland Raiders are going to win. But this first quadrant of games, I think it's important for them to come out at least 500 or possibly 3-1. And if they can notch a win this early, I think that would really give them some positive momentum, not only going up against the Falcons, but proving to this team that they can win early on the road in a different time zone, and it gets this season off on the right foot.
Thanks, Scott. You know, I appreciate your work ethic and the way you cover this team. Great job. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, JT. Anytime.
So let's take a look at the New Orleans Saints on the official Raiders podcast. Joining us is Christian Garrick. He's a New Orleans Saints sideline reporter from WWL Radio. He knows this team inside and out. And Christian, I want to begin with what was going on in the preseason with Sean Payton and this team. Obviously, he was a little bit upset. He wanted the starters to play in the fourth game of the preseason. Is that because they were playing so poorly, or he wanted to see them come out on an upswing?
No, it's looking bad. I mean, that's why he did it, ultimately, because he wanted to see more. He didn't see enough in the first three preseason games. He didn't see what he wanted to see. That's why, traditionally you don't see a lot of those players play that deep into the fourth preseason game. But for Sean Payton, he wanted to see more, and I don't know that he got the answers that he necessarily wanted either.
Well, you're around this team all the time, and when you see him from the sideline, the numbers are outstanding when you look at the discrepancy between the offense and the defense. The defense, in total defense last year, ranked 31st, passing defense 31st, rushing defense 31st, dead last in points allowed. But it's the number one passing offense with Drew Brees and 310 yards a game. So clearly, did they upgrade with the draft and free agency on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I don't know that that's a definitive answer for you. I mean, we'll see. I think that they're going to be a little bit improved defensively, but not enough to be a playoff team. And then on top of that, I think the offense might take a step back this year, and they're not going to be the prolific passing attack that perhaps many penciled them in to be for the last decade. And I think that you're going to see them struggle along the offensive line protecting Drew Brees. And that ultimately means that he's not going to be able to get the ball to some of their playmakers, and Michael Thomas, Kobe Fleener, and Brandon Cooks, and Willie Snead. So I think you're looking at a team that's ultimately going to struggle at times offensively and then have their bumps in the road, have their growing pains defensively.
Kristen Garrick is our guest. When did this team lose their way with back-to-back 7-9 seasons with all the success they had when they won the Super Bowl and after this? Was it injuries? Was it player personnel, bad luck, timing? What's been the cause of this team becoming average?
Well, it was the 2014 offseason when they handed out contracts that were, I think, just unbecoming, ultimately, of this franchise, when they handed out contracts to Junior Gillette that didn't work out, when they handed out contracts to Jarris Bird that didn't work out. They kind of lost their way in 2014 because of those personnel decisions. They've had a couple of bad draft classes in, you know, two or three years in a row that has ultimately landed them in a position where they don't have a lot of depth, and they don't have a lot of room for error. So at this point, you know, they have to hit on all those draft picks, and they also have to hit on some undrafted guys to contribute to this team. And I just think that whenever you're picking up another team's trash, you're ultimately not going to get a treasure, and that's where the Saints are right now. And I don't have a lot of optimism regarding this team and regarding this season for the New Orleans Saints. I think you're going to see another season at the 6-10, 7-9 range.
Are they going to try to pound it with Mark Ingram when he's healthy, 4.6 yards a carry, 6 touchdowns before he was lost for the final 4 games? When healthy, he really runs downhill. And with the Raiders coming up, as the Raiders are trying to improve on their run defense, which wasn't strong in the preseason, is this the key to this upcoming game in Week 1, running the ball with Ingram and then having Drew Brees work off a play action?
No, I don't think so. It's really about Drew Brees. He's still the straw that stirs their drink, and they're not going to be able to protect him. So with Khalil Mack coming to town and that vaunted defense that they have, and yes, I said vaunted because I really am high on the Raiders' defense, I just don't think that they can ultimately hold up in protecting Drew Brees. That's what they're really counting on, to be able to push the ball down the field, and I don't know that they're going to have that this week against the Oakland Raiders. And I don't really expect a whole lot from this Saints team this year because of the aforementioned problems that I mentioned, and I don't know that they're going to have a lot of answers to the Raiders' problems. And in particular, they're going to have to score a lot of points because this defense is still kind of a work in progress, and they're not going to be able to shut people down, you know, to 13, 16 points. And this offense really doesn't look like a team that's going to score a lot of points in terms of 25, 30 points that they were traditionally scoring in the regular season from, you know, a couple of years ago and the past 2 or 3 years. They're going to have to play some defense, and I don't know that they're equipped to do that.
We're talking Saints football with Kristen Garrick from WWL Radio. He's the Saints sideline reporter. I want to get into the crowd here. When the Raiders saw this on their schedule to open up a capacity 73,000 at Mercedes-Benz Superdome, that's a tough place to play. It has been a house of horrors for teams to go in there, especially for a road opener, just on crowd noise alone. You expect that because you're not that optimistic on this team season, obviously, from what you're saying, but you do admit that that crowd is going to be on their feet and loud, and that'll make it tough for Derek Carr.
Yeah, for the first quarter. But if it turns against the Saints quickly, that crowd's going to turn against the Saints. I mean, look, as optimistic as they were and as loud as they were in that 9, 10, 11, you know, three-year stretch there, yeah, they were brutal to play against. They were tough to come against in terms of an opposing team. But I think this fan base in particular knows what kind of team they're going to have, they're going to field this year, and you go back to last year, and they were in it for about a half. And then if the opposing team kind of put some points together and put some drives together, they bailed out of there quickly, not because they were discouraged, but really because they understood the reality of it. And I think Oakland can come in and ultimately, you know, squash that crowd if they put some points on the board. But if they allow them to stay in it, then, yeah, that's the most difficult crowd to be involved with outside of Seattle. But, you know, again, if you look at what this team is ultimately capable of, I think that the Raiders are going to be in this ball game, and that's going to allow them to take a little bit of that crowd noise out of it.
Why did Sean Payton come back with all the options he had? I always thought that clearly down the road, Dallas could be an option with Jerry Jones. Some people thought his eye was always on the Giants in New York. Tom Coughlin is gone. McAdoo's in there. Why is Payton sticking it out with that new contract if the roster doesn't look good and the team's on a downward trend?
Because he has total autonomy. Because he doesn't have any pressure. Because he doesn't face really tough questions down here. This media market down here is a little bit different. It's not going to be as tough as it would be in those other markets like Dallas, like Los Angeles, or like wherever else you want to point to, New York. And he likes to be able to control the message, and he likes to be able to control the narrative. And I think that's what he had here. And I know that, you know, you don't want to leave Drew Brees. He's a franchise quarterback. He's an entity of himself. But at the same time, you know that you're not going to be under as much pressure or as much scrutiny in this fan base and in this media market. So, by the way, he ultimately has total autonomy. Like I said, he makes all the calls, you know, in terms of personnel, coaching staff, and all that stuff. So why wouldn't you stay here? And not to mention, you're going to be the highest paid coach in the NFL. Of course, I would stay here if I were him.
Christian Garrick's our guest, Saints sideline reporter, WWL Radio, as we wrap it up. So for Drew Brees, how does this end for him? From what you're saying, this is a 7-9 team. They might not be better than this. They have the Raiders coming up on Sunday. Is this a guy who's just going to put up massive stats for another 2 or 3 years? He's a lock for the Hall of Fame, but does he want to stick around and think that this is a 2 or 3 year window to turn it around so he can get back to doing something great like going to the Super Bowl?
I think he does. I think that they ultimately do turn it around. I think that they're in a bit of a dry spell right now, and I think that, you know, the two sides have entered contract negotiations to extend that contract beyond this year and into 3 or 4 years from now, and I think that they can rebuild pretty quickly because he helps you rebuild when you have a franchise quarterback like Drew Brees. But I think you're in for some more, I don't want to say dark days, but certainly some more you know, gray skies and overcast kind of skies for the Saints franchise this year. And then next year, when you get some salary cap relief, you have some opportunities to maybe build a winner around Drew Brees and make another run at it. And that window opens up a little bit. But for now, this year, I don't see it happening.
Thank you, Christian. Appreciate the time. All the best this year.
Sure thing. Thanks.
So we'll wrap up the first Raiders official podcast of 2016 with a man who's about to play in his first game for the Silver and Black after leading the NFL in interceptions last year with 8. We welcome Reggie Nelson. And Reggie, first off, congratulations on being named a team captain.
Oh, man, thank you, JT, man. It's very exciting and, you know, very shocking to be voted by your peers to be a captain when it's your first year joining them.
Yeah, walk us through that process, what it was like for you when Jack Del Rio talked about this vote and your teammates came together. That's an impressive moment for a guy who hasn't played a regular season game yet for this franchise.
Oh, man, it means a lot, man. I just continue to lead by example and try to guide the young guys and teach them the ropes of why I've been in the league for 10 years and, you know, just trying to show them what it take to last long and play this game that we love to do every day.
Reggie Nelson joins us. You tied for most interceptions with 8 last season. Walk us through that for the fans that might not remember your run with Cincinnati. Was that being a ball hawk? Was that being at the right place at the right time, watching film? What do you attribute all that success to?
I mean, definitely got to give it to the coaches and stuff. You know, they put me in the right position to make the plays, and, you know, all I did was execute the defense, and, you know, I had some great teammates that surrounded me around and put the pressure on the quarterback, and being a teammate, so I got that twice as much here, you know, with Khalil Mack and Bruce and that front seven in front of me. So, I mean, I'm excited about this year and try to do it again, lead again, and help this team get to where we need to be.
You mentioned Bruce Irvin. Khalil Mack gets a lot of publicity because he's just an absolute beast. What have you learned behind Mack so far? He's a younger player. You have a lot of experience. But what makes you believe that he could be the next Lawrence Taylor in this league?
Oh, man, his work ethic. I mean, just watching him work at practice. I mean, he committed, and, you know, just watching him work at practice, man, it just amazes me how good this young player can be. And if he keep working at it, he going to achieve all the goals and help us achieve our goals as a team also.
Reggie Nelson's our guest. Well, you get Drew Brees in New Orleans to kick it off, and that place typically is a house of horrors because it's so loud, 70-plus thousand, a Hall of Fame quarterback in the making there in Drew Brees. And, again, he likes to attack down the middle of the field, your position. Can you talk about going up against Brees in the past and what you're concerned about in this game plan?
Oh, man, I'm concerned about everything. I mean, he got some good weapons over there. And, you know, like you say, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, and he's been doing it for X amount of years. I think he's been doing it for like 15 years now. I mean, so that says a lot about a quarterback. And, you know, he's always been doing a good job getting the ball down the middle and getting them to his playmakers and stuff. So, I mean, I'm excited of going against him and just getting his kickoff to this 2016 season and showing what we've been working hard for all through OTAs and camp.
Yeah, it's interesting with Brees because he likes to look left, look right, pump fake. And you're a veteran in this league. You're coming off an unbelievable season last year. So you're not going to fall for these tricks. He doesn't have Jimmy Graham and some of the receivers that he had in the past. But I know you respect him because he likes to go over the top and he likes to look off safeties and dump it underneath. So that's probably one of the tougher matchups because there aren't as many quarterbacks as good as Drew Brees, right?
Oh, man, most definitely. He's a different breed, man. Like you say, he do a lot of looking off and getting the ball down the seams and stuff. And, you know, it's great going against quarterbacks like that. I mean, it makes me better. And speaking of quarterbacks, we got a great quarterback on this end. So I'm getting practice each and every day out through practice working with D.C. So, I mean, it's all good, man. When the game comes, it's going to be like just like practice, just working my technique.
We're wrapping it up with Reggie Nelson. You mentioned Derek Carr named as a captain along with you and Khalil Mack. And if you look at the depth of this team, you mentioned going up against Carr. What about Crabtree and Amari Cooper? And those are two receivers who can really keep you busy during a practice session. You guys aren't in pads the way you did back in the day. You know, with only 11 of these pad sessions, it must be nice to know that you got Mack in front of you when you're going after Cooper and Crabtree and Carr in practice.
Yeah, you know, the pressure help out a lot when we're going against some guys on the offense, man. We just keep competing every day. You know, that's what Coach Jack wants, just us to compete and get our job done. And we've been doing that a lot. But with Cleo and Bruce going after him, man, it make my job a whole lot easier because you got to get that ball out. So, Hoop, them got to get in their routes real quick when they're in practice.
Hey, Reggie, finally, what do you want your legacy to be? You come to the Raiders, you know all the legendary defensive backs and Hall of Famers who have played for this organization. Talk about how you fit in and what you want to accomplish here the rest of your career.
Oh, man, I just want to continue to do what Reggie been doing, playing football, and let everything else take care of itself. I can't try to be, you know, like all the other greats, but, you know, I just got to continue to do what I've been doing, and that's just playing hard-nosed football and sound technique and just continue to accept the coaches.
Good luck getting out of New Orleans with a win. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me, JT. Y'all have a wonderful day.
So I want to thank all of our guests again on the first podcast of the year. Scott Baer from CSN, Christian Garrick, the sideline reporter for the New Orleans Saints, and Reggie Nelson. Really enjoyed meeting Reggie this offseason and getting a chance to have him on our first podcast. Really excited about that. Raider Nation, get ready. It's a big one, and I'll see you in Oakland if you're making the road trip for the home opener against the Falcons a week from Sunday. I'm JT the Brick. This is the official Raiders podcast from Silver and Black Productions.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.